pray.
As the blind man was sitting there by the way, he cried to Jesus for mercy that day. Jesus commanded and gave him his sight. As he followed Jesus, I'm sure he cried. Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. Just like the blind man, I wandered alone in the darkness of sin. I was lost and alone, but one day I met him and he made things right. And oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by.
Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. And oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by.
All right, that's one out of two. Y'all have heard half the collection now. And the second one requires an instrument switch.
The sun rose that morning on the day of Job's trial. He rose up to serve God as any other day, bound and determined to live in God's favor. Nothing would stand in his way. Then the messengers came one by one with their stories. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. His wealth and great riches, the health of his body, even his children were dead. But he said,
"The Lord giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Then his wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, "To just end it, curse God and die." But Job rose from the ashes and looked towards the heavens and brushed back the tears from his eyes. And he said,
the Lord giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
They all forsook me there for a minute. I'm not doing this alone,
folks. Amen. I am his altar. Amen. Well, you'll be back in church this morning.
Yes, sir.
Hope you all got a good night's rest. Ready to worship the Lord. We heard some good music already. And good truths. And, get a little banjo music going this morning. Yeah, we'll try. Amen. Sing one on the hymnal. I'm resolved. Playing his favorite banjo song. It's a Chinese song, Tune In. You ready? Okay. Fiddle?
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't sung this one in a while, can you tell?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight.
I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the
so glad and free.
Glad and free.
Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day.
Resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in.
I hasten, hasten to him, hasten so glad and free.
Glad and free.
Jesus, Jesus, greatest prize, I will come to thee.
I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Hasten so glad and free.
Glad and free.
Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen. Get down to the end of a meeting, start pulling songs out of the vault. Amen. But I like them all, or we wouldn't sing them. But I love this song. It's about the resurrection. If he was still in the grave, we'd have no reason to be here today. But he rose again. Amen. In victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so, sing this one. Jesus is risen. There's some more room over here if you want to come this way. Up out of that grave because the Bible tells us that
he did.
And thank God for the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we don't just have a Bible. We have the Bible.
Yes,
and preserved perfectly for us in our own language. What a gift that is.
Man,
what a blessing that is. And it's good for what ails you. Amen.
Yes,
and whatever you need, God can feed your soul through the pages of that book. And so, we'll sing this song, I Have the Bible.
How often I have turned to the precious Word of life, needing strength for my weary soul. How often has the voice of God addressed the sin in me as He draws me close and makes me whole. In the darkest hours of life I've faced, I've been healed by the Word. My spirit springs to life anew when I hear from the Lord.
The voice of God that speaks from the pages, the truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life, a source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have the Bible.
Amen.
Decisions I have made have been guided by this book. Seeking truth when I don't know what to do. It stands unchanging in a world where nothing stays the same. It's a constant light for whatever we go through. It was true back then, it's true today.
Amen.
You can build your life upon it, the foundation upon which I stand. I'm thankful I can say
that it's the voice of God that speaks from the pages, the truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life, a source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have the Bible.
It's my strength in times of temptation.
It's where I first learned of God's salvation.
And tomorrow when I open up this blessed book again, it still will be everything I need.
The voice of God that speaks from the pages, the truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life, a source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have the Bible. I'm so thankful that I have the Bible.
Amen. Amen. That last line there that she was playing, you probably recognized it. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I want to sing about the love of God now.
Some people try to measure God's love by what they own, like clothes, cars, or money, the size of their home. But if all that I had was taken away, would that mean He'd love me less than He does today? And what about the millions with nowhere to sleep? The precious little children with nothing to eat? But I know that Jesus loves them the same as He loves me, because He proved His love for everyone when He died on Calvary. God said, I love you. Each time the hammer fell on three rusty nails, He said, I love you. And I can hear Him as He was crucified, as He bowed His head and died for a world that was lost. God said, I love you, with an old rugged cross.
Amen.
I'm glad the Bible teaches, for God so loved the world. Every man and woman, every boy and girl. And He said, before I lose them, I will pay the cost. Yes. So if you want to view God's love for you, just look upon the cross.
God said, I love you. Each time the hammer fell on three rusty nails, He said, I love you. And I can hear Him as He was crucified, as He bowed His head and died for a world that was lost.
God said, I love you,
with an old rugged cross.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done,
now I can hear Him as He was crucified, as He bowed His head and died for a world that was lost.
Good thing to learn when you're young, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Ben and Sarah, y'all ready to sing a song? Yeah. Amen. We sure are thankful for our new daughter. Amen. And you three, sing a song. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I think Dad's more excited about the baby than anyone else, really. But that's how he refers to us now, as you three. Okay. Technical difficulties.
you know Jesus, you know the truth, because He is the truth. Amen. Well, Pastor asked me if I'd mention just a little bit about our ministry, and we've been traveling in evangelism since the spring of 2017. And it's always been in our hearts, on our hearts, to be a help to local churches, and obviously to evangelize.
Right.
And you know, evangelism, I think, in some ways, has become something that it wasn't intended on being in the beginning, and in the sense that many times, as when you think of an evangelist, you just think of someone who comes in and preaches revival meetings, and that's part of what our job is. According to Ephesians chapter 4, evangelist is given for the perfecting of the saints. And so now that is part of it, but primarily it's for reaching the lost. Now that's what evangelism is. And so that's been on our heart, and we've seen some souls saved. We thank God for that. Back in the fall, the Lord really began working on my heart, and I didn't know exactly what He was doing, but I felt an unsettledness in my spirit about what God wanted me to do. And I prayed about everything. And basically what I did is I just in my heart and in my mind, I wiped the slate clean. I said, "Lord, You put back on there what You want me to do, and I'll do whatever." I prayed about pastoring. I prayed about this and that and the mission field. I prayed about everything. And, you know, I think it's good for God's people just every now and again just to reevaluate where you are and what you're doing and make sure that you're in the will of God. Because that's the most important thing in life, is being God's will. And so I began praying, and a few opportunities came up, and different opportunities for pastoring and everything else. And the Lord just would not give me peace about any of those things. And so I began praying about what it is that God was working in my heart about, because I really wanted to know. And the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture. It's Mark chapter 1. I want to just read one verse to you. The story here is, the Lord is beginning His earthly ministry, and He's going about doing good like He did everywhere. And He gets to a place in Capernaum, and He goes to the synagogue there. There's a man with an unclean spirit there. He casts him out. He does a great work. His fame is spread abroad in verse number 28. He goes to Simon Peter's house. His mother-in-law is sick. Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And the Lord brings her back to health. There's a crowd that's gathering around, and people start bringing all their diseased people to Christ. He's doing a great work, and God's blessing the work that He's doing. And they want Him to stay there. In verse 37, we'll read 37. And 38, it says, "When they had found Him, they said unto Him, All men seek for Thee." But verse 38 is what really the Lord spoke to my heart about. He said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And God began dealing with my heart. Our home is in New Brunswick, Canada. It's right beside Maine. So has anybody been to Maine? Anybody here been to Maine? Okay, a few folks. And how many of you been to New Brunswick? Okay, quite a few on this side. This is the New Brunswick side over here. This is the non-New Brunswick side. it's a province about the size of, in land, about the size of South Carolina. It's kind of between the size of South Carolina and West Virginia. And right in between that size, there's 800,000 people in the province. There's which is not a highly populated place, but among those 800,000 people, there are only, to my knowledge, and I've researched it pretty in depth, to my knowledge, there's only 4 or 5 Baptist churches, Bible-believing churches in the entire province. There are entire communities that have no gospel witness at all. And as I was thinking about that, thinking about these towns, that many of them maybe have never heard the gospel preached from the Word of God. The Lord really began dealing with my heart about going into these towns and preaching. And and as I began praying about it, the Lord was just confirming it all along the way with Scripture and with different things that would come across my path. And so with the help of the Lord, beginning in the summer of 2024, next year, we are going to begin holding gospel rallies and gospel campaigns in every town, every village, every city in our province. And there's 8 cities, 26 towns, there's 61 villages, right around 100 incorporated communities. And of course, there's other communities as well, but we're focusing on these incorporated communities. And we want to preach the gospel in every one of those places. And our plan is to go in. Some communities will spend a week there. We'll do mailers leading up to it. Go door to door, put out flyers, and then have on a Friday evening have a gospel rally held probably in the community halls of those places where we just preach the gospel. We sing and preach the gospel. And I still believe in the power of the preached Word of God. I believe in the power of the gospel. And so many of those communities, we'll have a week-long campaign. And then for some of the communities that are central to a higher population, we're going to be doing a month-long work in there. And that's knocking doors and mailers and promotions. The first 3 weeks of the month, and then the last week, we'll hold gospel meetings every night of that week. And so this is our plan. As I look at what Jesus says here in this passage, he said, "Let us go." I'm thankful that there's participation. The Lord could have done it all by himself, but he didn't.
Right.
He included his disciples, and he includes us in the work of the gospel. He said, "Let us go," and then he said, "Into the next towns." That, to me, speaks of he had a plan. He said, "Let's go to the next ones." That means he had a plan in place, and that's our desire, that God would put in our minds, in our hearts, the exact plan, the exact towns, the communities to go to next. And then he preached, and he said that I may preach there also. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to preach the Word of God. And you say, what is your plan beyond that? Well, our plan is just follow the Lord. And we're hoping that God will raise up churches in these communities.
Amen.
That can continue the work of the gospel in those areas as people are saved. As I look at the book of Acts, and I think I mentioned it last night in my message, look at the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul would just go into a town and preach the gospel. He preached it anywhere he could. He preached it everywhere he was. And as people were saved, churches were formed. And that's the biblical pattern of church planting. And so we're just going to go and we're going to preach and see what the Lord will do. And then he mentions the purpose there at the end of the verse. "For therefore came I forth." He said, the reason why I'm here is to preach the gospel. And Christian, that's why we're here. We're here to preach the gospel. And so... our plan is to begin that in the summer. Now, the summer months we'll spend up there in our gospel campaigns. The spring and the fall we'll continue to travel in the ministry that we're in now. And the winter time will be a time for us to kind of refresh a little bit and plan and pray for our summer campaigns. And so that's our plan going forward beginning in 24. We're on the road about 10 months out of the year. And so now we're only going to be on the road about 6 months out of the year. And so that's, financially, we're going to take a hit for that. But that's okay. It's not about finances. But we are, as a result of that, we are raising support. And so pray for us and pray that God would use us. Just pray that Christ would be glorified, magnified, and that souls would be saved. We have a mission field all around us.
Right.
And the U.S. is becoming a mission field as well. But we need to go to those next towns and preach there also. And so you pray for us as we endeavor to do that.